All right, joining us here at the draft table, we'll keep getting in on your thoughts on who the Canucks should select at 10th overall. Keep sending them in at 650, 650 on the text line or using the hashtag ReachDeep. It's Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, joined by Eric Erlandson, the Tampa Bay Lightning insider. How's it going, Eric?
I'm good, boys. How are you?
Pretty good. How
thanks you like for it? Welcoming to Vancouver.
It's, yeah.
The weather couldn't be better for a Floridian, let
we're,
me tell you.
We're really it's not too hot here. That's one
nope.
thing that
and it's not raining.
It's not raining, so you're getting the best of Vancouver right now. How's it been so far? It's been kind of a crazy week for the Tampa Bay Lightning, or 24 hours since the Ryan Callahan news.
Yeah, you know, there was one of the questions surrounding this team. We know that they're in cap hell, I guess we could call it. They're going to be in that situation. And one of the questions was, what's the long-term future of Ryan Callahan? How's that going to be solved? Is he going to be bought out? Is there a trade where they can retain some of the salary? I don't think anybody saw this coming, the degenerative back issue that he has. It's basically going to end his career. He's only got 1 year left in his contract. I saw some people saying, oh, they're Mary Ahosi in him. And it's a little different. There's only 1 year left on the contract. But, yeah, it's a sad way for a player of Ryan Callahan's caliber to see his career come to an end in that manner. I think it's not a shock considering the way Ryan Callahan played the game, how he put his body on the line so often that eventually it was going to shut down on him. But in terms of what this means for the Lightning, I mean, this is, you know, it's a $5.8 million cap hit that all of a sudden opens up. Now it's, you know, there's maneuverability and stuff to get the cap relief to the full 5.8, depending on how Julien Brisebois can sort of manufacture and manipulate a few things. But, you know, it's something that's going to help this team most notably try and find a way to re-sign Braden Point.
Yeah, and Braden Point is the big question for Tampa Bay this year. It's like, how much do you pay the man? And he's going to command a price playing a center. What's that dollar figure that you think? I know it's a tough question right now because nobody's signing anything. They're holding out and just seeing what the market is set at. But, you know, if you're a guessing man, where does Braden Point's contract sit?
Well, I guess it depends on, is he a bridge deal or is he a long-term? And I think that's what they have to determine because, you know, the situation that Julien Brisebois finds himself in is, okay, we get Braden Point this year. Well, you've got Andrei Vasilevskiy, who just won the Vezina, up for a new contract after next season. Mikhail Sergachev is going to need a new contract. Eric Chernak is going to need a new contract. Anthony Cirelli, Matthew Joseph, two key rookies on the team this year. They're all going to need contracts too. So there's a lot of chess that has to be played by Lightning management in figuring how the salary cap is going to work. So if you could find a way to bridge a Braden Point, and they did this with Nikita Kucherov. They found a way to bridge him at about 4.7, and he hit probably a higher AAV with 9.5 that kicks in next year than he would have had he signed that long-term deal when he was an RFA. So that's the question. If he's an RFA bridge deal, you're probably looking, what's the market on that now, about $6 million per year. If you go long-term, you're probably talking, you know, somewhere between Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov money, so somewhere between $8.5 and $9.5 million if you're going to put him on that, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year deal.
The buzz has been about Mitch Marner getting an offer sheet. Is Julien Brisebois worried about Braden Point getting one?
He's been asked that question, no doubt. And as most general managers, we'll match anything that's out there. But I think you have to be concerned about it because you are a team that's in a cap situation, and 30 other general managers are very well aware of that, including the one in Detroit now, who's very well aware of Tampa Bay's situation. So I think you have to be very cognizant. I think if they can find a way to get Braden Point signed before he goes to July 1, but it doesn't seem like any of those RFAs are going to sign before you get to that. It looks like they're all going to at least see what's potentially out there. We keep hearing this is the summer of the offer sheet, and he is a potential target of that. So I think if you're Tampa Bay, I do think you have to be worried about that.
Well, aside from Ryan Callahan, aside from Braden Point, you know, this is a team that had an unbelievable regular season when we know what happened in the playoffs. Do you expect other moves to be made? Because there are some other players, you know, we've talked about JT Miller in the past, or, you know, Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat. They do have no move clauses, but do you expect some movement from Julien Brisebois on these other players?
I do, and you can kind of cluster in any of those forwards that are making in that $5 million range, and Alex Killorn, a Yanni Gourde, a JT Miller, as you mentioned, an Andre Palat, a Tyler Johnson. I mean, those are all names that we've kind of bantered about a little bit, that if they're going to make moves, those are the areas that you could easily address to open up the cap space. And because it's not a player thing, it's a cap thing, and we know the cap situation that they're in. It's a very important couple of weeks here for Julien Brisebois. This is his first summer as a general manager, and he's going to be challenged, and he knew that when he took over the job back in September. And it's now in front of him, and he has to find a way to maneuver to try and keep this team as well put together as it is right now without also sacrificing long-term. And they still have some prospects that can make an impact. You know, the Syracuse had a really good year even though they fizzled out in the first round of the postseason as well in their loss to Cleveland. But, I mean, that's what he's up against. And so I expect that we're going to see some moves and we're going to learn a lot more about Julien Brisebois, the general manager, here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, all these guys, Killorn, Johnson, they have no trade clauses as well. So, I mean, is there any sense that they would waive if something gets done?
I mean, Tampa's a great place to play hockey. There's no doubt it's a great franchise.
Income
it's a great the tax situation, the chance to win a cup is certainly there. So it would be hard to convince, I think, any player that they have to leave Tampa. So, I mean, there's always ways to make it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you approach a player, I mean, let's face it, a no-trade clause is always about a player controlling where they can go at the end of the day. And, you know, a couple years ago, they got Valtteri Filppula to waive his no-trade clause to go to Philadelphia. And Jason Garrison in the expansion draft. So there are ways to, if you have to make a move, there are ways to convince a player that, you know, this might be best for both sides.
Well, there's another player that probably won't end up in Tampa Bay based on the fact that the cap situation you mentioned, and that's Anton Strahlman, who's been a very good player dating back a decade now. But what's he got left in the tank? You watch him rather closely in Tampa.
The smarts that he plays with is still there. The ability to get out of pressure is still there. I don't know how much of the skating is still there. And I think that's a concern as you watched him play. You know, he broke that leg a couple years ago, and he just hasn't seemed like he's been the same type of skater since then. He had a couple of other injuries this year that kept him out, you know, in middle of the season and then late in the season. So I think that's probably a big factor why, you know, those three UFA, including Braden Coburn, who just re-signed along with Dan Girardi, Strahlman was the guy I thought they might bring back because he's the right-handed shot. They chose Coburn. I think Strahlman has some left, but I don't know how much the skating is there.
You think the Lightning are busy tonight, or is there work to be done with the salary cap over the next 10 days or so?
I think it's more going to be around the next 10 days or so as we get close to July 1. I don't think their first-round draft pick is in play. They didn't have one last year. They've traded out of the first round a couple of times in the last number of years. I think Julien really wants this first-round draft pick. I don't think he's going to put that in play. So any moves that they make most likely won't directly impact their draft. It'll be players. You know, you hear the name Rasmus Ristolainen. That name was out there. You know, at the trade deadline, it's starting to surface again. I think there's some smoke there between the two teams. And if it does come to that, then I think that's a player-for-player swap. I don't know how many draft picks would be in that.
He is Eric Erlandson. Follow him on Twitter by his name, Eric_Erlandson, the Lightning Insider, and check out his work at lightninginsider.com. Thanks for joining us, Eric. Enjoy Vancouver.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Sportsnet 650.